Nicholas, we move this morning from great compassion to great loving kindness. We're definitely moving very deeply into the realm of possibility here. It's good. Expand the horizon. And as we envision ourselves and others rising above, let's say, the ocean of suffering, getting to some peace, some equilibrium, some relief, then it's quite natural that one's horizon would expand, one's imagination, possibilities arise of finding far greater sense of well-being and happiness than one had envisioned before. When you're really engulfed in suffering, it's hard to imagine happiness. You're hungry, very happy just to have the suffering stop. And my sense too, maybe I'm just odd. I know I'm odd, but maybe I'm not. How shall I rephrase it? Whether this is my own unique perspective, I don't know. But just generally speaking, I find just spontaneously easier for compassion to arise. If I see somebody in suffering, compassion arises. I mean, that's just, I think, normal. Loving kindness, a little bit hard. Because you're looking out, you have to kind of look more carefully to see the lovable quality. We're suffering, kind of in your face, when it's blatant suffering. And likewise, when one is suffering oneself, I mean explicitly, you really know it, hard to really be caring all that much about others. And hard really to envision one's flourishing, when you're just feeling like you're roadkill, like you're just under the tire. So good, I think this is why, just intuitively, I feel among the four greats, the great compassion and so forth, the great compassion may be the most practical way to start. And it is the one that's emphasized, that is moving into Mahayana territory. Of course, there's great loving kindness in the others, but Mahakaruna, as we saw from the quotes I cited yesterday, tend to be one that really, really highlights. So, what are the roots of suffering, which we wish freedom with this great compassion, mental afflictions. But if we let our imagination soar, I mean to the limit, in terms of well-being, then it would be the well-being not simply of an arhat, which would be quite extraordinary, but actually the well-being of a samyaksambuddha, one who is perfectly awakened. That is really exceptional. That's the thought. And so to move beyond the peace, the serenity, freedom of suffering, of an arhat, to the fulfillment, the full glorification of well-being, of one's own interest, having completely expanded, realized one's own interest, as well as the interests of others, that is our capacity to be of service to others. Then for that, a much subtler level of obscurations needs to be dispelled. So the coarser level, klesha avara, the obscurations of mental afflictions, leads you to arhat, to liberation, to nirvana. But to realize our full potential, to completely unveil the capacities of our own Buddha nature, pristine awareness. For that, then this much subtler level of cognitive obscurations, or yeshi nirvana. Cognitive obscurations. Those need to be dispelled. And with the vanishing, evaporation, dissolution of those, then the full splendor of our own primordial consciousness becomes manifest. So as long as we're reaching for the stars, we may as well reach for the galaxies. So let's go right into the cultivation of great love, Maha Maitri. as if you are quieting a concert hall before the orchestra begins playing. Likewise, quiet, calm, and balance in the body, speech, and mind. By settling them in their natural state and calming the exclusive mind with mindfulness. Mentioned before that the cultivation of great compassion, great love and guidance makes sense really only if one enters into such practice with a view of emptiness, with a view that awakening, perfect awakening of the Buddha is truly possible and has been realized. And many beings of the passage, the Buddha Shakyamuni, continues to be realized to this day. So I invite you, if you wish, then to bring to mind, visualize as clearly as you can, the primordial Buddha, the embodiment, personification of your own pristine awareness, Samantabhadra. Primordial Buddha, deep blue in color, seated in full lotus. Hands holding a vajra and bhava, symbolizing skillful means and wisdom. Embodiment of wisdom, compassion, power. Essential nature of your own mind. now until the day, the year, the lifetime that I fully realize perfect awakening. I entrust myself to take refuge in the primordial Buddhist Mantavadra. Dharma revealed by all the Buddhas. In the Sangha, those who have realized this primordial dimension of consciousness, the Vidyadharas, for the sake of all such beings throughout space, may I realize this perfect awakening ever so sweet. Call upon the blessings of Samantabhaga to enable me to do so. Inviting into the crown of my head, facing in the same direction as myself, melting into light, streaming down through the central channel, and reforming a Samadhi in my heart chakra. Merging my body, speech, and mind with that of Samantabhadra. One glass of water poured into another. And from this perspective, our best approximation of viewing reality from this perspective, pristine awareness, we raise the question, why couldn't all sentient beings find happiness in the causes of happiness? Perfection of happiness, perfect awakening itself. We allow our awareness to attend to the world of sentient beings, however they may manifest, ever so transiently, from one life to the next. Each one is imbued with this dimension of purity, pristine awareness. Why couldn't we all achieve a perfect joy, a full awakening? Well, essentially, we already have the cause, simply awaiting the contributing circumstances. All sentient beings find genuine happiness in this cause. With each hour, imagine boundless rays of light emerging from the Samantabhadra at your heart, reaching out in all directions above and below, all the directions to the sun. Providing the cooperative conditions to lead each sentient being to their own fulfillment. Each out-breath arouses this resolve, if you will. I shall make it so. I shall lead each sentient being, every sentient being. Genuine happiness and its causes. Every out-breath imagine light continuing to flow from this inexhaustible source, flowing out in all directions, and imagine here and now, sentient being by sentient being, each one finding unfulfilled. Coming to perfect awakening. May the Guru Samantabhati and all the manifestations of Buddhas all bless me that I may be enabled to carry through this resolve. With each in-breath, imagine light converging in upon you from all sides, above and below. Light of wisdom, compassion, and power of all the Buddhas, converging to one point. Flowing in is a gift without being taken. With every outbreath, let the same light then flow out in all directions to hold the sentient beings. Going out effortlessly. Imagine each one finding the path to awakening, and following that path to its culmination, its final fruition. please all appearances and aspirations. Let your awareness rest in its own naturally luminous nature. If you were to go to any authentic Lama, qualified Mahayana teaching, Vajrayana, and ask, is it possible to achieve Shamatha nowadays in these degenerate times? Is it possible for me to achieve Shamatha? They, of course, get a variety of responses, but one response you may very well is, possible. That takes a lot of merit. That's a good answer. Completely true. You don't have a lot of merit. You're not going to achieve Shamatha or Vipassana and so forth. You won't. Not going to happen. It's like setting out on a long journey. You need a great big tank full of gas to be able to go that far. So you need a lot of merit. Which then, one is really quite reasonable, one's say, good, okay, thank you for a good answer. Solid, true, authentic answer. Then the question comes up, how to get a lot of merit? You know, it's cause and effect. How shall I accumulate a lot of merit? Shall I be teaching Dharma? Should I start a business? Keep a lot of money, like give to Dharma centers? And so then I just have to tell you my all-time favorite Dharma story. I've told it many, many times, but you're going to hear it again. If you don't like it, you just put your fingers in your ears right now. Dondumba, the great disciple of Atisha, was out and he saw a fellow very devotedly circumambulating a stupa. I think. He was doing some devotional practice, I think. Probably with his mala, maybe reciting Om Mani Padme Hum, doing his devotions. And Dondumba comes to him and says, "Ah, oh, very good to you, do your devotions. To worship the Buddha, circumambulate stupa. Very good. Even better, though, to practice Dharma." I was somewhat perplexed, but he already was, but he had great respect for Dondumba. So he put on his thinking cap. How can you really practice Dharma if you're not really studying Dharma, learn Dharma, gain understanding? So the light went on, the light bulb went on above his head. He sat down and really started studying Dharma text, reading them, thinking upon them, and so forth. Really studying Dharma, learning Dharma. Dondumba saw him doing this. He said, "Oh, very good to study. Read text, memorize text, recite text. Very good. Even better to practice them." So he thought some more. And then finally, a great big light bulb went up above his head. What's the point of all of it? What's the point of teaching them? What's the point of doing devotional practice? What's the point of studying Dharma? It's all for the sake of cultivating your mind, which is bhavana, which is meditation. That's where all the the roads are pointing to that. Cultivate your mind. Purify your mind. So he got it. He sat down and started practicing meditation. This time probably in hopeful anticipation that Dong Zhenwu would come and finally say, good on you. If you were Australian, otherwise you probably wouldn't say that. So there he is meditating away, maybe even waiting for Dong Zhenwu. Please come this time, I got it right this time. So he's meditating. Dong Zhenwu does come, right on call. Oh, I see you're meditating. Very good. Even better to practice that. So now he's really totally perplexed. Because I think he's gone through his whole Rolodex. He's gone through all the options. What, shall I teach Dharma? What shall I do? Start a Dharma center? Build a statue? No, so I've already done that. So he really doesn't know. And Dong Zhenwu said, give up all attachment to this life. Let your mind become Dharma. That's really the most quintessential Dharma advice I've ever given. So it's true, in order to achieve shamatha, one must improve great merit. It's a really a more effective way, given our current abilities and limitations, in terms of what we actually can do. This is an open question, not a rhetorical. But is there really anything we can do that would accrue greater merit than devoting ourselves single-pointedly, 100% full-time, to making the mind serviceable so we can use that for everything else, so that we in one day can accrue the merit that would otherwise take 100 lifetimes. Devoting ourselves to the cultivation, realization of shamatha, but of course not as an isolated single practice, but empowering this, strengthening, deepening this, with the cultivation of the four immeasurables, great compassion, great loving kindness, and bringing whatever wisdom we can to the practice, day by day, breath by breath. Is there anything we can do that would be more powerful for accumulating merit, drawing in the power of the Buddha mind, than that? I think in order to accumulate enough merit to achieve shamatha, the way to do that is not by not practicing shamatha, and not by not meditating, and not by not developing the four measures. If there's some other way that's more effective to accumulate merit, I'd really like to know about it. So, I see no reason to wait. Thought, oh no, I probably don't have enough merit. I can tell you, you can hold that position. I probably don't have enough merit. You can adopt that position and just hold it for countless lifetimes. And unfortunately, it will always be true. That's one of those self-fulfilling prophecies. Oh, I don't have enough merit. Yeah, you don't have enough merit to sit down and start meditating, you clunkhead. Even when I get really passionate, they use tough heads. You saw me just fly off the handle. Like, that was it. That's my biggest shot, clunkhead. Come on, let's get rude. Let's get tired of having a dysfunctional mind. Let's tired of just doing a bit of practice here or there and then dying. But finding a path, proceeding on. Unless you have something better to do, then definitely you should do that. I just can't imagine it. Maybe that's my imagination deficit. Enjoy your day.